Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. But it's that Friday Night Fire with the Three Bros Fantasy Football Show. Last week we took a week off, but we're back at you this week. You know, we got a lot to talk about. A lot of people getting ready for the playoffs or jockeying for playoff position, you know, or trying to keep their position in the playoffs. But now you get into the, you know, the meats and potatoes of your fantasy football season, you know, as far as working the waiver wire, you know, what guy on your team is just taking up a roster spot that you probably can pick up a second defense or something. So, you know, probably next week we'll probably get into roster moves next week about what roster moves you should look at going forward. You know, but this week, you know, me and little bro Jermaine, we're going to give y'all some starts and sits for week 9 as you get to the home stretch of the season. But let me introduce my little bro coming live from Fayetteville, coming from Rayford, North Carolina, right outside of Fayetteville. It's my little bro Jermaine. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, family? What's up, everybody?
Yeah, man. So, but you know, like always, how we do on the show, we always review the Thursday night game from a fantasy perspective. So I'm gonna let little bro talk to us about the Colts, and then I'll talk about Indianapolis, man. I mean the Jets. So talk to me about the Colts last night, man, from a fantasy perspective.
Man, Jonathan Taylor showed out, bro. I felt like he was gonna have a good game going up against the Jets, but I don't think no one would think he would run for 172 yards. That boy's the truth, man. And coming into the season, he had a lot of hype, you know, coming out of their camp about, you know, how he had an outstanding camp, which is one of the things I feel in fantasy football you really got to pay a lot of attention to. But he has lived up to everything. 2 touchdowns, 172 yards. I mean, man, he pretty much, I wouldn't say he carried that offense, because Carson Wentz, he's been playing exceptional football past 3 games. They look good. They're now 4-5. Man, I'm telling you, man, that offense is starting to come together, and this was done without Ty Hilton playing. So I'm thinking when they get Ty Hilton back, they're going to be a dangerous team to play. But fantasy perspective, between Wentz, Taylor, and Pittman, they look good, man.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna go to the other side, man. You know, I thought last night would be a coming out party for Michael Carter and Jamison Crowder playing with Mike White. Like me and you were saying off air, is Mike White was coming off a 400-yard game against Cincinnati, and he was on his way to having another good game last night until he got hurt. You know, the first series, you know, he drove him down the field a little bit. They end up punting, and Indianapolis got the ball, scored a touchdown. He got the ball back and took the Jets right back down the field and threw a touchdown pass to Elijah Moore. So I thought he was in line to have a big game. Like I said, I picked him up in one of my leagues. I had him, Carter, and Crowder, you know, because this week, man, you got a lot of big time receivers out this week, along with some running backs out this week. And some big time running backs also. So, you know, I was like, let me see whether or not Mike White can do it again. So that's why I picked up Crowder, and but I had Carter already. But you know, like you said, Jonathan Taylor had a big game. I got Michael Pittman in a couple leagues. He done scored basically 15 points or more the last 3 or 4 weeks. So, you know, man, the Colts are rolling, man. I even picked up Carson Wentz in two of my leagues. And I have started him the last couple weeks. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what the Colts can do, especially with Henry out. Can they make up ground and possibly you know, win that division. And I like what the Jets are doing with Mike White, unlike what they was doing with Zach Wilson. Mike White, they let him air the ball out. They let him throw the ball down the field, where Zach Wilson, you know, he ain't really throwing the ball down the field, but he is throwing the ball about 25 to 30 times a game. So I think they might have like a mini quarterback controversy if White keeps playing good when Zach Wilson come back. And that's the one thing you don't want. You got a rookie quarterback who you drafted number 2 overall, and you want to have a quarterback controversy with his backup? Nah, man, you can't have that.
Nah,
but look,
bro,
man,
I'm thinking. Yo, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, compared for the last few games, the fantasy points Zach Wilson had before his injury, his last three full games, 4.6 points, 4.60 points, 22.68, and then at 8.98. So this is definitely going to be some room and some whispers up there in New York, big time.
Yeah. But look, man, we had a lot of news this week come out about football. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be released on Monday. He's going to be released by the Browns on Monday, which I think is kind of foul. You know, basically, they basically taking 2 weeks from him from playing when they could have released him after the trade deadline and had him go through waivers and get signed by Friday or Saturday, you know, at least being able to get hold of a playbook, you know. And it's like, damn, y'all, it ain't Odell's fault that his production ain't what it is. It's the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. So, you know, man, go ahead, tell me your perspective on the Odell Beckham Jr. situation with Cleveland, dog.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the thing with OBJ, man, I was, you know, listening to First Take, and, you know, the thing with Odell, I think Odell mentally is not – in the last 2 years, he's really not, I don't think, had his head in the game. He's an immense talent, but I think personally his maturity, his lack of, is really caught up to him. So they were, you know, they were showing some stats, and his catch rate, he ranks 51st out of wide receivers. That's awful. So his production on the field has not been there. This year he's only had two decent games. He had, what was that, week three, he had like 5 catches, 77 yards. Another game with 5 catches, 79 yards. But then in the other games, 2 for 27, 2 for 20, and 1 for 6. He's so inconsistent, man. He has not had a consistently good year in the last couple of years. I'm thinking maybe if he went to a team that had a strong quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. There's nowhere in Buffalo or Kansas City. They were talking about maybe Kansas City could be a destination. We would see. I just don't think his head is in the game to be fully productive right now.
Man, I think, you know, I was watching Speak for Yourself and the man with Acho. He was breaking it down as far as Kevin Stefanski's offense. He was talking about how Kevin Stefanski stifled Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs when he took over the offensive play calls. And, you know, I was sitting there like, damn, I didn't really think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I started thinking about, you know, Odell. I say, Odell has been dropping the ball a lot too. Bro, you're already not getting targets. And then the targets you getting, you dropping them? Nah, man, you can't drop the ball. You got to catch everything. You know, and then everybody was saying that catch last week, that Baker kind of threw, I ain't going to say kind of threw high, the one Baker threw high to him, they were saying he was scared to catch it because he was going to get hit. I don't think he was scared to catch it. I just think it was a bad throw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the team I would like to see him go to is the Las Vegas Raiders. I think Odell and the Raiders are glove in hand right now, especially with the Ruggs situation. You
mm-hmm.
see that they're going to need a number one wide receiver, which Odell gives them. It's the West Coast offense, which he played in before. So I think the Raiders should claim him off waivers. Don't even let
mm-hmm.
him get through waivers. If he gets to y'all, just claim him. I had two other teams, San Francisco. I think he'll probably be all right with San Francisco. I had New Orleans, but I don't think he would want to play with Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill. So,
yeah.
You know, you're going to have the Raiders, San Francisco, maybe Green Bay. But I think maybe the Ravens, but I don't think he want to go to a team that's going to be considered a run-first team. I don't think he wants to do that again because basically mm-hmm. that'll be the same situation as if it was in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I like him going to the Raiders.
Yeah, I think the Raiders would be it because of the passing game. And that's something I think that anybody, you know, that, I mean, if you're going to a new team, you have to make sure the scheme fits your strengths. And, I mean, like you said, that is true. When he was up there in Minnesota, Stefanski, that's when Diggs was cutting the monkey about, get me out of here, man. I'm not getting the ball. It's a tight end orientated offense. And that offense he runs, they really don't need a number one, you know. Remember when he was hurt last year, Peoples Jones was going off. You had different people contributing, but I don't think it's a number one offense, a wide receiver offense.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We should find out by Tuesday. If he clears waivers Monday, I'm quite sure he probably has his list of teams that you know, that he wants to sign with.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the Raiders. I wouldn't let them clear waivers, bro. Go ahead and pick up that $7 million. Hell, there's only $7 million. So pick them up, bro. But this week, there's something new to the show. We normally don't talk college football too much unless we're talking about rookies coming into the league next year. But
okay. The
college football rankings came out this week, bro. We got Georgia number one, Alabama number two, Michigan
mm-hmm.
State number three, and Oregon at number four.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any problems with the college football rankings?
So to me, when it came to me, like Ohio State, Ohio State right now, personally, I would pick above Oregon.
Oregon beat them?
I think Ohio State can beat Oregon, but, I mean, 4-5 is pretty decent to me. Alabama at 2 is legit. Michigan State, okay, we give them some props, but Oklahoma rated number 8, it makes no sense. So here's the thing, man. I'll tell you, America, look, I'm going to tell y'all like this. Here's how I feel. Cincinnati, with their schedule, I'm sorry, everybody in Ohio, your schedule does not dictate a top, to me, almost 9 to 10 ranking. So if it was me, Oklahoma would be probably number 6. I would still have Michigan number 7. Cincinnati, I know they're 8-0, but they're not better than, I mean, well, they beat Notre Dame. So let me take that back. I would put them probably number 9. Because since they beat Notre Dame, I would put them number 9, but I would have to rank Michigan and Oklahoma above them. What you think, bro?
I'm going to totally disagree, bro.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to totally disagree.
What you think?
Because I'm in favor of the little guy getting a shot. Because Cincinnati can only play the teams that are willing to play them. And this year, it was only 2 teams willing to play them. And they had to go on the road for both those games. They had to go on the road to play Indiana, and they had to go on the road to play Notre Dame. It's kind of funny that this year, Ohio State doesn't have Cincinnati on their schedule. When they have played, I want to say, for the last 4 years. It's kind of weird. I'm just saying. But I'm in favor of the little guy.
Okay.
My top 4, my top 6. All right, before I even do that, when I looked at the rankings, bro called me crazy, but these rankings are set up so Alabama can lose 2 games and possibly still be in the college playoffs. Why are they at number 2? You know why they're at number 2? You know why they're at number 2? SEC.
They're
at number 2 because of the SEC, because of the talent on their team. It's not based on wins. It's kind of based on wins and losses, but they feel that even with 2 losses, Alabama is a top 4 team.
Absolutely.
That's why they're at number 2, which I know based on the eye test, Alabama is definitely a top 4 team in the country. Based on the eye test alone, they're top 4 team.
Mm-hmm.
But I have Georgia number 1.
Yep.
I got Michigan State number 2.
Woo! Okay.
I got Bama number 3. Actually, no, I don't. I got Cincinnati number 3. And I got Bama number 4. I got Bama number 4. I got Ohio State number 5. And Oklahoma number 6. Now, the reason I got Cincinnati in there is because you only can play who's on your schedule. So they undefeated on their schedule. They went to Indiana. They went to Notre Dame. They won both games against a Big Ten team and a super independent. They breezing through their conference. Michigan State, I don't see them being there in the end. But as of right now, they're there. I see them losing Ohio State when they play. So I don't think Michigan State is going to be there in the end. Bama and Georgia will figure it out in the SEC championship game. If Bama wins, the SEC championship game, both Bama and Georgia will be in the college football playoff. So I think them two, if Bama loses, they shouldn't be in. I'm just saying. So I just want to see Cincinnati play one of these teams on a neutral field and see how they look. Cincinnati defense is pretty good. They got a top-flight quarterback. So, in college football, as long as you got a quarterback and you can play defense, you got a chance. So, that's why I'm at with it this week. We'll see how it go next week. But, look, man, let's jump into it, bro. Let's get the people what they can hear from you. Give me a quarterback you sitting this week.
I'm sitting Matt Ryan going up against them Saints, man. The Saints made Brady human last week. I mean, even though it was a flurry at the end, the Saints defense is solid. Every football purist knows if you got a pass rush, you got a chance. And New Orleans defensively are solid. And right now, Matt Ryan, without Ridley, Gage, he's coming off a groin injury, which everybody knows those soft tissue injuries, man, they're kind of up in the air. You know what I'm saying, Lee? So, you got one definitely healthy receiver in Todd Sharp, but I'm kind of concerned because you might have Lattimore on Gage if he plays. I think it's going to be tough sledding for Matt Ryan to really get going this week versus that solid pass rush and good back end play of the Saints.
If I'm New Orleans, I try to put Lattimore on Pitts. I try to put Lattimore on Pitts, but I don't know if Lattimore can cover the slot. But I know he follows the number one. So, but like you said, New Orleans defense has given Matt Ryan fits for years. I don't see, especially after what they did last week. But the guy I'm sitting down, I'm sitting Sam Darnold down, man. Sam Darnold has definitely fallen on his face. And I wrote down, he's still seeing ghosts versus New England defense. I think the last time he played them, he was like he was seeing ghosts. So we all know New England defense is tough versus opposition pass game. Look at what they did against Justin Herbert last week. And Darnold right now, he's getting you points based on his scrambling. He's really not throwing for a lot of yards. So he's only giving you yards in his scramble game, points in the scramble game. I also wrote down Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to struggle this week. But, yeah, man, Sam Darnold for me, man. I'm sitting him down this week.
Yeah.
All right, man. A running back I'm sitting down this week. I'm sitting down Kenneth Gainwell, man. Last week, Gainwell was probably the most picked-up player and all of fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
This dude only had 6 snaps through 3 quarters last week. And they had him on the field during mop-up time. So I didn't like the way he was used last week. Boston Scott and Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard played more snaps than him, and both of those guys scored touchdowns last week. So Kenneth Gainwell, I can't play him, bro. What running back you sitting down this week?
Man, I'm sitting down David Johnson going up against Miami. Last week, they traded Ingram. And so reports was like, okay, good. Okay, great. He'll have a chance to get a little bit more snaps. We heard about some Philip Lindsay talk, but everybody was thinking, okay, David Johnson might have a chance to soak up some of those carries that Ingram left. And, man, he dropped a dud, brother. So he only had 2 carries for 4 yards. 2 carries for 4 yards. And so in that now that they're talking about, you got Philip Lindsay, you have Burkhead, got carries. And then you got the backup Phillips, so now you got a four-headed monster coming out of Houston Texans. You can't play none of them. So I would say moving forward for the rest of the league, for the rest of your season, keep David Johnson off the radar.
And speaking of Phillip Lindsay, if I was Tennessee, I know y'all in the same division, but I would have called about David Johnson or Phillip Lindsay to fill in for King Henry. I mean, man, bro, did you hear the running backs that they had on their radar? Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore, and Todd Gurley. Man, I would have been calling Buffalo about Zach Moss. I would have called Houston about either David Johnson or Phillip Lindsay. Or I even would have called Denver about Melvin Gordon, because we all know Javonte Williams should be the starter in Denver. I don't understand. Man, I don't understand it, bro, but okay. You got David Johnson. Give me a wide receiver you sitting down this week.
Wide receiver I'm sitting down. Man, I feel he's solid, but he just doesn't score, man. That's my Jacoby Myers, man. He's getting some targets. He's getting catches. But, guys, this is fantasy football. We got to get points. And so Carolina, they're stout on defense. They really stout, on the edges. Gilmore, I know he's dealing with an injury this week. But still, it's a great chance he'll play. But you're going to have Gilmore on him, plus he doesn't score. Man, it's going to make it harder. And there's some receivers out on the waiver wire, which we'll go over in our starts and sleepers, that you might can get, that can get the same amount of yards, but maybe get a score as well. So I'm definitely sitting Jacoby Myers this week.
I'm going with another guy that's going to have a tough matchup, man. And I know you like this guy all year. If you can find somebody else outside of Courtland Sutton on your team or that you can pick up on waivers, Courtland Sutton is going to be matched up with Trayvon Diggs all day Sunday. So you got Trayvon Diggs on Sutton, and Dallas has an improved pass rush going against Denver offensive line, who the Washington football team actually dominated last week and should have won the game. But I'm not going to go there. Washington should have beat Denver last week if you watched the game. But I just think Courtland Sutton has a tough day Sunday. I think Denver's offense has a tough day Sunday. And with that being said, I will look elsewhere as far as if you got somebody else on your bench outside of Courtland Sutton. So, yeah, man, maybe you pick up a LaVisca Chenault or the Agnew kid, you know, who got a lot of targets last week. So I would just look elsewhere. I just think Sutton has a bad matchup this week. All right, man. Tight end that don't sit in this week. He had a good game last week for the Chicago Bears. Jesse James. I know it's a revenge game for him going against his old team, Pittsburgh, but it's not about his ability. It's about the matchup. I don't like the Bears' offensive line going against the Steelers' front seven. I just see Steelers struggling. I see Pittsburgh sacking him a lot. And when your quarterback doesn't do good, guess what? The wide receivers and the tight ends don't do good. So Jesse James, some people probably ran out and picked you up when they saw that you scored a touchdown and saw that basically you out-snapped Cole Kmet. But I can't play you this week, bro. Who you got, man? What tight end are you sitting down?
I'm going to sit down Pat Freiermuth going against the Bears, the tight end for the Steelers.
Pittsburgh.
He had a good game. Yeah, he had a good game last week. But the Chicago – hey, they're playing defense. They're giving up the second fewest points to tight ends in the league at only a little over 5 points a game. And I think this is going to be kind of a slugfest because both those offenses, both of them score under 20 points. I think the yards are going to be at a premium, and I really don't see Freiermuth making a big impact this week.
Yeah, man. I think Pittsburgh has a chance to score points in this game because I think Justin Fields is going to turn it over. I didn't like the way he looked on the road against Tampa Bay. I think he plays with a whole lot more – well, all young players play better at home, but I just don't like his body language on the road. So, look, man, got to get into these starts. Before we get into the starts, you know – this week, we got Detroit on the bye. I mean, DeAndre Swift is on the bye, along with T.J. Hockenson. Seattle is on the bye. I mean, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Alex Collins, Gerald Everett, Tampa Bay is on the bye. You lose Brady, A.B., Godwin, Evans, Gronk, Fournette, and the Tampa Bay defense. And the Tampa Bay defense, and then me and Jermaine's team, Washington football team, is on a bye. You lose Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissick, and Terry McLaurin. So, you know, we trying to tell y'all which players that if you could pick them up, pick them up. So, give me a quarterback you starting this week, Jermaine.
Brother, despite the things that's going on over there in the Raiders, I'm starting Derek Carr. Derek Carr has been solid. His last two games, he's averaging a little over right at 30 fantasy points a game. He's going up against the New York Giants defense. They're in the middle of the pack as far as versus the quarterback. But, I mean, this team has faced some adversity this year after the Gruden firing, but they came together. The rug situation, yet I still think they're going to come together. I'm really confident he's going to be able to, you know, help his fantasy players out with a really solid outing this week.
Yeah, man. I actually picked Derek Carr up this week because I think I got Tom Brady on a bye, and I got I think I got Sam Darnold as my number two. So I cut Darnold and picked up Carr.
Good deal.
Excuse me.
Good deal.
Excuse me. Mm. So, yeah, man, I like the Derek Carr pickup. All right, my little bro said that Mac Jones, that Carolina's defense is solid. So he's sitting Jacoby Myers, which means he may have little faith in Mac Jones having a good game. And I had Mac Jones as a start. So I am going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo. Of course, San Francisco can run the ball, but Jimmy G has actually come around since his injury. And I think Kyle Shanahan knows Trey Lance ain't ready to play. So the pass game for San Francisco is coming around. Him and Debo have a great combination going right now. And Kittle is coming back this week also. So with the running game, Kittle, Debo, and Jimmy G, he's actually been running the ball a little bit. Now, this game is all based on Kyler Murray's health. Because if Kyler Murray is healthy, then this got a chance to be a high-scoring game. But if Kyler Murray isn't healthy, then I see San Francisco, you know, probably running the ball a lot to take the lead. But do not underestimate Colt McCoy. When Colt McCoy is forced to start, he normally have big games. So, hey, I like Jimmy G this week.
Yeah. All right. I think, that's going to be solid. It's going to be a good game, man. That's going to be a good game.
Okay. Running back that I'm going to start this week. A lot of y'all have been waiting for a breakout game for this guy since y'all picked him up. Hopefully this the week because Saquon should be back next week. Devontae Booker. If you have him, play him this week against the Raiders. The Raiders haven't stopped the run all year long. I don't know what it is about the Raiders' defense, but everybody runs the ball on them and the Chargers. Them and the Chargers just get ran on. So Booker should have his – I'm going out on the record right now and say Booker should have his best game if he's healthy. If you have Booker, go ahead and start him. I picked him up in one league. I'm starting him. So come on, Devontae. Let's go, bro. Give me a running back you starting this week, Jermaine.
Yeah, man, I have Booker too, bro. But I'm going to go with Elijah Mitchell. He's having a solid season, man. And he busted out. He had a great game last week. He's dealing with a little bit of rib injury, but he still is going to be able to play. And it's just like, man, I don't care who you put in that backfield for San Francisco. With Shanahan, I can get 100 yards. Whoever runs the ball is going to get yards. And just like Big Bro said, with Kyler Murray out, man, if he's out, I think Shanahan is going to pound him. I'm thinking they're going to pound him and pound him and pound him again. Elijah Mitchell, I think he's going to get the carries and the yards.
Yeah, man. Only thing I worry about Elijah Mitchell is Jeff Wilson Jr. is supposed to play this week. And you know how Shanahan likes Jeff Wilson Jr. So Jeff Wilson Jr. might cut into some of his snaps. So keep an eye on that. And if Jeff Wilson Jr. is available in your league, go out and stash him. Pick him up and stash him because Shanahan loves this guy. So, you know, you can never have too many San Francisco running backs. Okay.
You ain't lying.
Yeah, man. All right, Jermaine, give me a wide receiver you starting this week.
Yes, sir, man. Man, I like the great white hype, man. Hunter Renfro, bro. I like Hunter, man. I like him. Almost four games, only one game did he have less than eight targets. And he's gotten about seven receptions per game, all except one. The targets Ruggs maybe had gotten like maybe four or five. I think with it's going to be a Waller and Winfrow, man. Winfrow, I just got a feeling this guy, man, he is going to be very good for a long time. But he's consistent. He can get you, some solid points. And I think they're going to be able to take advantage slightly of that back four of the Giants this week.
Yeah, man. I think Renfro he's going to be the new Wes Welker, Julian Edelman wide receiver, because runs good routes. He gets open. He moves the chains. When you move the chains, that means you're going to get targets because the quarterback trusts you. I'm going with a guy that's playing on Monday night, man. I'm going with Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson has been Pittsburgh's wide receiver one. But, you know, last year he had a case of the drops. This year he's not dropping the ball, but Pittsburgh's passing game isn't explosive. But when they throw the ball down the field, they throw it to him. Going against Chicago, I like him. And plus, him and Najee are options one and two in the Pittsburgh pass game. So when you got a guy that's going to get targets or opportunities, those are the guys you want to play on your team. So I'm going with Deontay Johnson this week on Monday night going against Chicago. All right, man, give me a tight end you starting this week.
Yes, sir. Man, Tyler Conklin for the Minnesota Vikings, man. This guy, he's quite sneaky solid, man. Sneaky solid. So Baltimore, they're giving up the most points to tight ends this year. Conklin just had a great game versus Dallas, which Dallas has a great – everybody knows they have a solid defense. Still had five catches, 57 yards. The game before that, three catches, 71 yards. So, man, I'm telling you, that offense for the Minnesota is really coming together because you got those Jefferson and Thielen on the outside, but now they got an inside presence with Conklin. This is going to be a great game because Minnesota going up against Baltimore, there's going to be some points scored. So I can pretty much rest assured he's going to find end zone in this one.
Man, that's crazy because I had Conklin as a sit.
No, don't do that. Yeah, bro.
I had Conklin as a sit, but I'm going to let you live. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm going with Zach Ertz, man. I know I went with Zach Ertz 2 weeks ago, but I'm going with Zach Ertz again this week. They played on Thursday, so he had more time to learn the playbook. I think with my man, with Kyler being a little bit dinged, I think his tight end is going to be his best friend this week, the tight end and the running back. So with a better understanding of the offense and with their receiving core, the middle of the field is going to be wide open. I like Zach Ertz to have a big game against San Francisco, although he is going to have a tough matchup with Fran Warner and the 49ers safeties. But I'm starting Zach Ertz this week. All right, Jermaine, give me one sleeper this week, man, that you got.
One sleeper, I'm going to Rondale Moore with the same game. I'm going to have a 1A and a 1B. This is contingent. If Kyler Murray starts, I'm going with Rondale Moore because A.J. Green this week is out because of COVID. Unless he tests, negative the next 24 hours. But, Rondale's going to man the slot. It's going to be a solid game, and I think he'll get a lot of opportunities. And I'm going to throw one more. And my second one is Van Jefferson for the L.A. Rams. They just got the release of Deshaun Watson. Van is going to get those targets. He's already been consistent and solid this year. Must start this week.
Yeah, man. Van played. He's been playing so good that it forced Deshaun to try to force a trade or be released. Deshaun, man, I think you should have stayed with the Rams.
Yep.
I really don't see too many teams picking up a guy that only runs deep routes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with Ruggs being out, maybe the Raiders reach out to him, you know. So we shall see. If on the Raiders, like we said in the earlier segment, I think you go out to OBJ and maybe you go out to Deshaun also. So that only makes your passing game stronger. And then you got Waller on the underneath stuff. So Deshaun still can take the top off of defense. But Van Jefferson, man, he's been playing outstanding this year. And all his opportunities he take advantage of, although, you know, Cooper Kupp is just killing it right now. So,
yeah.
But speaking of the Raiders, with Henry Ruggs being out, and they're going to need another wide receiver to show up this week against the Giants. The Giants secondary is actually pretty good. Zay Jones, can you fill in for Henry Ruggs? Can you go out and have a solid game? Can you have 6 catches for 70 yards and maybe a touchdown? Zay Jones, you're my sleeper this week.
Okay.
I think Zay can be effective. But the one thing about him is he does have a tendency to drop the ball sometimes. You can't drop the ball, bro. This is your chance to show the organization that they can depend on you and that maybe you can be Henry Ruggs' fill-in. So I got Zay Jones as my sleeper this week. So that being said, me and Lil Bro broke it down for y'all. Gave y'all the players y'all should sit. Gave y'all the players y'all should start. You know, because once again, Detroit, Seattle, Camden, Washington are on a bye. And plus, you should be in the mindset of it's playoff time. Let me start doing things to make my team better or start playing the players that are consistent in my lineup and give me the best opportunity to win. So, any last words, little bro?
Yeah, man. Just I would tell you, definitely make sure you take a look at your rankings. Make sure you're using all your resources in your leagues, whether you're in Yahoo, ESPN. Man, use your tools, man. Find out, you know, your player, you know, your team rankings versus, you know, defenses and stuff like that. So make sure you use all your tools that are available to you to get that competitive edge in your league.
Plus, like Lil Bro said, what you're doing now is all your lineups should be based on matchup.
Yes.
Matchup now is very important at this part of the year because now you know which teams have good defenses. Now you know what teams have bad defenses. You know what teams have solid secondaries, what teams have solid front fours. You know how teams are using certain players. So everything should be based on matchup. You shouldn't be scared to sit down a guy that has a bad matchup. Because if you plan a guy that has a bad matchup, you're not giving yourself the best opportunity to win. So that being said, everybody have good luck this week. As always, at the end of the show, you know, positive people, positive energy, your positive results. And the Three Bros Fantasy Show, we always end the show with a peace.
Peace.
Yes, sir.